Yeah, dude. So I'm Tanner Freeman. Do you saw Creatives, my company?
I'm David Griffin.
I'm David Wayne Photo, and you're listening to Modern Brews and Beats.
You are listening to episode 163 of Modern Brews and Beats. I'm Jerry Richard, JW Richard with ntxbeer.net and on the socials, ntx_beer for Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And with me is not Cool Tony D out of Morrilton, Arkansas, but Travis Ehlers, who is in Garland, Texas with Intrinsic Brewing. Travis, how are you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Many people who are listening to the podcast heard you on episode 158 as you were talking about the collaboration with Fly Season and the Texas Thang Berliner Weiss style beer there at Intrinsic. So we're going to get into a little bit more of that. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So our podcast reference for the evening, 163 days following the first day of Passover, or Pesach, it was used to calculate the date of Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year. So that is our reference for 163 on here on Modern Brews and Beats. For some events for the week, we've got the Avant Chamber Ballet holding a fundraiser at Pedicolas Brewing Company, and it's called Ballet and Brews. And it's on Thursday, March 23rd. And you'll have more information there at ntxbeer.net/event calendar. Also, from Daybreak, Imperial Texan, and Toadie's Beers to all the pickle beers you can ever want, you've got Martin House Brewing Company celebrating 10 years on March 25th. So you'll have more information on that and all the other events that are happening that week at ntxbeer.net/event calendar. Travis, you are not only in the interview seat, but you're also co-hosting with me. So you got to tell me what you're drinking right now.
Perfect. What am I drinking right now? Actually, I just grabbed something that... Hey, Chess. Hi. Cracking open a beer right now that the Lakewood guys dropped off for me.
Nice.
So they have a...
Chester wants some beer.
Yeah, apparently. Hey, Chess. It's okay. Yeah, they just dropped something off for me, and it's really good. I don't actually know if they've started selling this yet. So,
is it the Reinhardt?
Yeah, it is. Have you had it?
Yes, I have, and cool. I had some at Lakewood. It's available at tap room only.
Okay, I wasn't sure what the deal was on their release for this, so.
Yeah, so the word I heard was that Ashton wanted to make a German Pilsner that was available in the tap room, and Reinhardt was inspired by a small unincorporated city in East Dallas that used to exist at the corner of PV and Garland Road. And while it was incorporated into Dallas at the turn of the century, they wanted to pay homage to that German heritage by choosing a name that reflects, you know, what was there. So that's why they chose the Reinhardt.
That's really cool. Awesome.
it's a damn good Pilsner. It's one of those things where I'm like, oh man, more people should know about this Pilsner.
You absolutely. Know? Yeah. Definitely go check this one out. This is really good. If I'm not drinking Pilsner at our brewery, then I'm going to be sipping on this one for sure. So...
Yes, like I said, I know the brewers. Is there, you're making barrel aged beers and all kinds of fun stuff over there. But I know, brewers really prefer keep it light. It's a busy day.
Yeah, we stick to the lagers for sure. Thankfully, I get to brew a lot of those with the restaurant aspect of us. It goes all the lagers go great with barbecue, so it works really well for me.
Absolutely. So.
We just got finished canning up, doing a canning run of the Quick Draw American Light Lager today. So
nice.
That just released today, and that's a nice, easy drinking beer for a canning run and dealing with the Friday. So,
Quick Draw to the weekend. I know that's right.
Absolutely.
I know that's right. So I'm sitting here drinking an alt beer. It's been a while since I've had an alt beer, right?
Yeah.
And so I got this beer with a musical influence. This is actually from Bar TJ. This is the website for beer collaborations with Run the Jewels. Of course, LP and Killer Mike. And they have a alt beer collaboration with Spaceway Brewing out of Rocky Mount, North Carolina, right? And shout out to Spaceway. And the beer is called Oh My Darling, from the, you know, the hit single that was from RTJ2. And it's a banana bread alt beer.
Interesting.
So it is true to form. I mean, it's definitely got this nutty banana bread flavor, mildly sweet, not over the top, and it's only 5.4%. So it's really drinkable and good. But yeah, shout out to Run of Jewels and Spaceway Brewing for this alt beer called Oh My Darling.
That's awesome. I had not heard of that one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Find that one.
So they ship, like, what it is that they and Crowns and Hops and a few other companies are working with a company called TapRM, and they ship here to several states, including Texas. So,
okay, cool.
Yeah, it's kind of, it's cool to see that that's happening. And I'm sure as beer to you advances in the Texas legislature, hopefully we'll be able to get our own Texas breweries from throughout the state, because there have been plenty of breweries here in the state I haven't had a chance to try yet.
Right. Yeah. That's, I'm looking them up right now.
See?
So,
awesome. Awesome. You know, so we, when we talked that we were going to have our, you know, interview on the podcast, you know, I told you that, you know, we're about beer and we're also about music and some other things. So I'd love to know, like, what are you listening to? And just kind of listening to personally, like, you may have a totally different soundtrack in the brewery, but what are you listening to?
Depends on the day, right?
Uh-huh.
It's constantly rotating. So I don't know. I tend to stick to, like, a lot of heavy metal stuff and hardcore punk, and just kind of depends. But these days, yeah, mostly just, like, going back to kind of what I, like, was listening back in high school, I guess, like some Metallica, some Slayer, stuff like that. So
I do hear a lot of brewers really enjoying metal in the production room, you know, when they're doing things. Now, is that you, or you want something totally different in the production room?
I don't know. I actually, these days, I've actually switched to listening to audiobooks in production.
Nice.
I've listened to so many hours of music in the last 10 years while working in breweries that, I have to switch it up. So I also listen to audiobooks, and, like, I can grind through some books really fast because,
you got to let us know what you're listening to.
Let's see. What's the last? I just downloaded something yesterday. I use, like, the Libby app.
So sure.
I can use, like, you know, just the local public library.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm listening to right now, based off a suggestion from a friend from college, Revenger. It's a series that's by Alistair Reynolds. I don't know. It's a sci-fi series, and I think this book is like 14 hours or something. So that'll keep me busy for a couple days. And then, you know, there's like 5 books in the series or something. I don't actually know. So hopefully that'll keep me busy for a couple weeks, maybe.
Nice.
Yeah. But now I like to switch it up and listen to, kind of go all over the board. What were we listening to today? Today, while canning up, we were listening to a bunch of Blink-182 and whatever else came on
mm-hmm.
on our Spotify One of the classics that we listen to at the brewery is Action Bronson, actually. So that's kind of a that's kind of a go-to. That's like, especially when we're closing, when it's just staff in there, it's like we're blasting Action Bronson nonstop. So, and then Run the Jewels, obviously, always. That was a big thing, especially when Muck worked with us.
Yes.
That was like, yeah, we were listening to that nonstop. Absolutely. Actually, I don't know if you've ever seen it. Have you seen the mural that we got spray painted on the side of Intrinsic that was the Action Bronson mural?
No, I've not seen it.
Okay. So you know his like show Fuck That's Delicious?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we got this like local artist to spray paint. It's basically Action Bronson eating a rib, and it just says "That's delicious" on it. And like, yeah, it's on the side of our warehouse. You have to go through the alleyway to see it.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll make sure. I was trying to think in my mind, like, wait a minute. I've been to Intrinsic. I've been there several times. I've not seen this mural.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll have to show you sometime. We got a shipping container that's actually like covering up most of it now. But I'll show you. I have photos of it. I'll have to send it to you. So
very cool.
Yeah. But.
No, I that's really cool that you're enjoying audiobooks there in the tap room. I was just talking to some other people about some audiobooks I've been downloading recently. The latest one is actually dealing with fugitive pedagogy. It's about Carter G. Woodson and sort of the education for Black teachers around the end of, this is like the top of the 20th century and mm-hmm. some different things going on. So fascinating. I think musically, I have been caught off by a beat tape by a Detroit multi-instrumentalist and producer by the name of Black Milk. He just released something. In fact, the title is sort of an ellipsis. It doesn't even really have a title. And it's just a bunch of different clips and cut-ups of some Luther Vandross and some Roger Troutman and James Brown. So it's fun. It's fun jam out listening to. I really think his 2019 project Dive is, in my opinion, probably one of the best hip hop releases in the last 5 years. And I would definitely recommend anyone to check out Dive by Black Milk if they've not heard anything by this Detroit artist.
Awesome. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. Yeah. So I met you really there at Intrinsic, and especially when I had my first bottle share there at the place. But I really was curious for your brewing history. Like, I mean, I know you've been brewing other places besides Intrinsic, and I wasn't exactly sure if Texas was even your home, if you like came here from another place, and you know, just curious about that.
My education background is actually in engineering. Mm-hmm. So I graduated from Colorado School of Mines and actually worked in engineering for a few years, and I absolutely hated it. So I had been like a homebrewer just for fun through college. And I was like two years out of college and had already worked for a couple different jobs because I was working in oil and gas industry, which is always very dynamic and changing. And I decided that I was not going to do that anymore. And kind of was talking to somebody and was at the right place, right time, and got an interview for a brewery that was based in Colorado that was opening up a location in DFW, and ended up flying to Colorado and interviewing for the job and got it. And yeah, started brewing up here in DFW. So started working for Backcountry Brewery
yeah.
a few years ago. Yeah, back when they were opening up that location here in Dallas, and Worked for them for only about a year, actually, before I was actually living in the apartments near Intrinsic. So I became friends with Carrie just over that year. And that was the first year that Intrinsic had opened. So they were brand new as well. And just kind of became friends and ended up leaving backcountry to go work for Carrie and start an expansion of Intrinsic and kind of work my way into that. So really kind of a weird, unique situation, I'd say. But
I mean, it had to be something to leave the oil and gas industry to get into brewing. I mean, I'm sure, I mean, not asking as far as how much, you know, the money was, but I'm thinking the money would be a little bit more in oil and gas. And all, I'm thinking like, oh, that's interesting. But when there's a passion, there's a passion. And when there's no passion, there's no passion.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So it's absolutely, like, definitely just something I'm more passionate about, something I really care about. And just, it's a fun industry. I needed a change. I was also traveling a lot for work with my oil and gas jobs and stuff. So just wasn't a very good work-life balance. So yeah. Trying to find a change with that anyways. And it just kind of worked out for me. Like I was very, very fortunate on how all that kind of panned out for me.
Did it take you a little bit to get used to Texas?
So what's funny is I'm actually from Richardson.
Ah, okay.
So part of the reason why I got this job is because I was living down in Austin at the time, and I had the ability to move back to Richardson basically immediately. Like literally I got laid off from a job on like a Tuesday. I think I got this interview for a Colorado brewery on Wednesday, and then I like flew up there Thursday, worked with them for the weekend, and then got hired and moved back to Dallas like the following week.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
It was one of those situations where it worked out.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm from here. So okay. Yeah, I was familiar with it, but it was still funny because I moved back up here to go work for Backcountry Brewing. And when I like came back up here, I didn't even know Intrinsic was open. Like they just opened. And so I was just like, there's a brewery in downtown Garland. And like, I couldn't believe that, you know. I'm used to it just being Lakewood was the Garland brewery, and you know, they're in the industrial area and
sure
everything. And I was just like, there's somebody in downtown Garland. Like, are you serious? Like, I didn't know that was a thing.
So when it was coming in, was the barbecue a part of the vision from its inception, or is it that coming later? Or I'm curious.
That
about
was
that.
Part of the inception. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, okay. I think actually the very first like outline of Intrinsic Brewing, I think instead of barbecue, is actually going to be like burritos.
Gotcha.
That was, yeah, originally what Carrie had thought about doing. And at some point, he ended up buying a smoker, which is the smoker we now have at Intrinsic. But before he even had the building for Intrinsic, he actually moved the smoker into his backyard and had that just in his backyard while he was like getting ready to open the restaurant.
Right. That's some visioning right there. Yeah. Said, you know what? I'm going to put you right here because I want to see you every day in this backyard because you're going to be in my spot. That's awesome.
Yep. So pretty wild.
Yeah. That is wild. When was this? This is now, you're now what, going to be 8 years this year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. This year. Mm-hmm. So it's gone by quick.
Yeah, it is. It has gone by quick, but I'm excited and I love to see the growth. In fact, I think you were the first person that I remember bringing a Brute IPA really to kind of the North Texas area, because I, you know, it, that was just kind of getting in as far as what the different IPA styles, and you know, styles come and go.
Right. So. Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, we kind of always try and I try and pay attention to what's happening in larger, you know, beer trends and everything like that. And mm-hmm. we try our hand at a little bit of everything at Intrinsic, as you know. So, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of just a cool, fun style that we wanted to try out and just play around with and just, yeah, test out, see how it does.
Right. And so from that, I have I'm curious to ask this three-part question, right? So what moves the most in the tap room? I think you gave me a little bit of that answer earlier, but I'm very curious if you dig a little deeper into that. So what sells most in the tap room? What sells most in kegs for people who take the beer out into other places? And what beer would you love to make that you've not made yet?
Okay, great. Yeah, awesome. Good question. So what moves the quickest for sure are lagers. So Beach Please, our Mexican lager,
mm-hmm.
probably our number one seller when it's on. Quick Draw, American Light Lager, also, if it's on, it's selling. Our Pilsner, Hey Check,
yeah.
really, really popular. That one always, as soon as it comes out, people are all over it, and we usually sell that one on our Lucre tap too. And then Ibe Bock, I'd say that one is one of our most popular, especially for people who have not been to Intrinsic before, because we get a lot of people who, you know, they come in for the barbecue, don't know that we brew our own beer, and may not know anything about craft beer. So mm-hmm. if they come in and they ask for a Shiner, we tell them Ibe Bock is the closest thing. And so that one is consistently a high seller.
That's awesome to give that recommendation. And I know sometimes, you know, it's a challenge for people coming in and they don't know about what goes on with craft beer or how can they liken it to something they regularly drink. But that's awesome that you have those active recommendations to give them.
Yeah, yeah. We try and accommodate people, because at the end of the day, you know, we're still a restaurant and we want to be able to make people happy who, you know, may not know anything about craft beer before they walk in. So trying to find something that fits for everybody is always key.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And then I guess for kegs out the door, definitely for Distro, Chubby Unicorn, number one seller. That's our double IPA. It's kind of a no coast. It's not hazy or anything, but it's not a full West Coast IPA, and it's Chinook and Eureka are the two hops on it. And that's been a really, really popular beer for, I guess, since we came up with that, like 5-6 years ago.
I think I first had that at Deep Ellum Art Company. So I was enjoying a concert, and I think that's where I first had it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
What's a beer that, I mean, you've made so many different styles there.
Yeah.
What's something that you haven't made, but you'd like to maybe try in a small pilot batch?
Oh, ooh, that's a tough question. Cause yeah, like you said, I'm in a fortunate situation where I have a one barrel pilot system. And so I get to come up with all sorts of weird things. I can tell you the next one barrel batch that I'm brewing. It's something that has been on my list for a long time that I just haven't gotten around to.
Nice. Exclusive.
Yeah. So I'm going to be brewing a lavender wit with orange blossom honey. That's going to be the next thing that I'm brewing on a one barrel.
That sounds like a jam. Okay, that sounds
so kind of weird, but I think it'll work, and really excited for it. Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited you're doing lavender again, because I think the other barrel you've had with lavender is the stout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is coming out this summer, hopefully.
Okay.
The lavender latte.
Yeah.
Yeah. The coffee shop we've done that with, there's a new owner, but okay. I recently spoke to him and he's down for it. So I think we're gonna go ahead and do that again. Hopefully like next month.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
That is awesome. And on a side note, when you brew with coffee, are you using whole beans? Are you using ground coffee, cold coffee? How do you do your situation for coffee? I really enjoy the coffee beers you make.
It depends, but for the most part, it's we usually do a really coarse grind, mm-hmm. and then just essentially we're just cold brewing it. So I'm putting it into a bag and dropping it in while I'm already at crashed temps on gotcha. The beer. And I'm doing that just a couple days before I'm ready to transfer it into a bright. So that way it's
just picking up a little bit of that coffee essence.
Get the coffee, and then once you get the right amount of coffee, mm-hmm. being able to just move it off.
Gotcha.
Immediately. Yeah. So.
Gotcha. I was always fascinated about that. I mean, I think when I was working with friends and homebrewing, I mentioned I'd love to have like, you know, different coffee beers, but I know that there's different ways that people can make coffee beers and how they use them, either the types of beans they use, whether they're using whole beans. I've seen some people even just using cold coffee already cold. And I'm like, okay. So lots to learn.
Yeah, I think at this point I've done all of those. Like I've done made cold brew and mixed it in. I've used whole beans. I've used coarse ground. I've used whatever ground that I could get. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But typically, yeah, coarse ground and adding it in typically like depending on how much coffee you're using and dosing rate and, you know, your ABV of the beer.
Sure.
But yeah, leave it on there for a day, maybe two, and then it's usually ready to go. So
as you're expanding there in Garland, have you and Carrie ever considered doing a spot outside of Garland?
That has kind of been a conversation at some point, but no, not anything too serious. Gotcha. Yeah, I think we'll probably just stay in this one spot. Right now we're just focused on getting the construction done on the current spot.
Yes, you've got a really great patio, and I know that as we've discussed there, you know, there's still a few things to go to make that patio even greater with the seating above and people looking down at the stage.
Right.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so they were out there painting this week, so we're getting closer every day. Stay tuned. Hopefully soon, because it's finally getting to be some nice patio weather. So I really, really hope that we get to actually enjoy it this year, because we missed out all of last year.
Well, I mean, in some ways it's cool right now, because not only do you have the weather coming in this year, but you now have the parking back. You know, there were some things going on with the square, which is going to really look cool once that's all done too. But, you know, now you have that parking and it's really nice.
Yeah, yeah. The new downtown is going to be really, really great. So I think in November it's mm-hmm. supposed to be done.
Nice.
Officially. So we're counting down the days right now. It'll be here before we know it, but we're looking forward to it. And yeah, if you haven't been out to downtown Garland, definitely check it out, because it has changed a lot from what you remember.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, absolutely. I highly recommend to go check it out. So you're stepping into the weekend, and you know, what do you enjoy to get into when you're not in production of brewing?
Well, new season of Formula One just started up last weekend. So I watch that on the weekends.
Uh-huh.
There's not a race this weekend, but yeah, I definitely watch that during during the season. And other than that, like grilling and chilling, trying to do housework. And yeah, we've got a pretty nice garden situation going on here at the house too. So Shelly's mostly in charge of that, but mm-hmm. trying to help out with that. And yeah, get some pepper production, some tomatoes, things like that. And yeah.
Nice. A full green thumb. I need to work on that. I don't have much of a garden, but I need to work on that totally. With a lot of projects around my house.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, Shelly's the green thumb, but she tells me what to do on that. And yeah, no, it works out well. We've got, cause like once we start getting pepper production too, it's like doing fun lacto ferments on peppers and getting some hot sauces and stuff like that. So
very fun.
Yeah. And then it's like, I have a smoker here at the house too. So even though I work at a smokehouse, I'm doing my own thing.
Of course.
Lots of cooking and grilling and things like that. But yeah.
Very cool. So, you know, and shout out to Shelly. To making it happen. So it actually leads into my question here. It's Women's History Month, right? So Travis, who are the women that inspire you? Who are the women that have been inspiring you through your life? Now, you know, role models in the past?
Sure. Yeah, obviously Shelly, my partner, incredible, awesome woman. Very inspirational, very driven person that, yeah, she's great. So shout out to her for sure. I mean, I guess maybe it's just my mom. Like, so my mom, she was a science teacher. Mm-hmm. Also just teachers in general, I'd say. Like, shout out to them, and they're extremely inspirational and have a very difficult job, I'd say, and underappreciated job. So
yeah, especially in this environment. Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah. And so like, yeah, can't say enough to praise my mom. Like, she's, you know, done so much and been such a great person. Just, yeah, done so much.
Travis, I mean, I really appreciate getting a chance to talk with you about some of the beers that are coming out and everything that you're doing. You know, props to you and Carrie for, you know, kind of what you're making happen there at Intrinsic Brewing.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah, so very cool. And I'll have in the show notes, I'll have where they can follow you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and of course, the website where people can actually make orders to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Really appreciate it.
Cool. You've been listening to episode 163 of Modern Brews and Beats. I'm Jerry Richard, JW Richard. Whoa, I said that fast. Jerry Richard, JW Richard, and Tony will be back soon here in the podcast. So Cool Tony D will be back here in the mix. Until then, as we say every week, enjoy your favorite brews and favorite beats, but please do not drive drunk. Please call a cab, Lyft, Uber, a friend, or be a friend if someone needs to get home safe. Thank you for listening to Modern Brews and Beats.